Seattle has a national reputation as a foundry of cooperative business. The outdoor gear giant REI got its start here. Thousands of people shop at PCC Natural Markets every week. Well, this weekend, another co-op will pay this city a visit, and get ready for it. That co-op, the Green Bay Packers. The Seahawks' opponent on Sunday is the only NFL team entirely owned by its fans. The Record's very own Kaveh Anderson is a shareholder.
I can say I'm a fan, but also I'm a part of the team. You know, I have a say in what they do. And it's just a really cool experience because how many other fans, you know, you can say you're a super fan, but unless you're Paul Allen, that's not your team. I can say, yeah, this is my team.
So what does civic ownership of a sports team mean for its fans and for its players? Dave Zirin is sports editor for The Nation magazine. He says this business model is almost a century old.
Well, it actually goes back to the 1920s, at a time when the National Football League was something that was a fifth-tier sport, a side entertainment, if you will. And the Green Bay Packers were an organization that was about to go under. The team was going to go away, as many teams from that time. I mean, we don't celebrate the Canton Bulldogs today, for example. But the way they were able to keep the Green Bay Packers afloat in the 1920s was by selling shares to locals. And it started off very modestly. They just asked fans to chip in money to keep the team afloat. It really is quite remarkable.
So, Dave Zirin, the Packers shareholders at this point, I think, don't get a dividend. I understand
Nope.
They don't get free tickets. So what do they get?
Well, it's a great question. And a lot of people scoff at the fact that the Packers are team-owned, and they say it's not real and it's fake precisely because there's no dividend, there's no decision-making powers. All you really get is a piece of paper that says you're one of the 250,000-300,000 owners of the Green Bay Packers. You don't even get a frame to put the piece of paper in. But what makes it such a powerful thing is that it ensures that the Green Bay Packers are never going to move. I'm sure people in Seattle have no idea what it feels like to have a beloved local franchise just uprooted from your city.
Not at all.
It ensures that you're not going to have a new stadium built with public money and shoved down the public's throat. I'm sure the people of Seattle have no idea what it feels like to have a new stadium built over and beyond the wishes of the general public on the taxpayer dime. Mm-hmm. And so it ensures a set of operation that isn't so solely geared for profit as it is for the other NFL franchises. And the other thing that it does, honestly, more than anything else, is that it allows for a team to be in Green Bay. And the NFL certainly, I think, profits from the fact that its sport is connected to a community that by all shape could not on its own support the existence of a professional franchise.
So, Dave Zirin, you've written about, and we've just talked about, this unique relationship between the 200,000-300,000 shareholders, the community of Green Bay, and their team. Ultimately, are fans of football, or at least Green Bay fans, better off than they might be in some other scenario?
First of all, tickets are cheaper. Beer is cheaper, for goodness sakes. And a certain percentage of the profits of the team go into local charities in Green Bay and actually in Wisconsin as a whole. So are they better off? I think they answer that question for themselves when there are huge snowfalls. And you actually get hundreds of volunteers of people from Green Bay who go into the stadium to shovel the snow so there can be a game. I mean, can you imagine any other city? I live in Washington, D.C. The idea of Dan Snyder asking for volunteers to help the franchise here with the racist name, I mean, people would laugh in his face if they didn't just spit in disgust.
Dave Zirin is sports editor for The Nation magazine. And Dave, as you mentioned, the NFL specifically took steps to ensure that no other team ever becomes cooperatively owned. But Green Bay, as you describe it, sounds almost like this nirvana of football land. So why is the NFL so opposed to this?
Well, because one of the things that the very existence of Green Bay does is that it marks owners as superfluous. And you don't have this situation in Seattle right now. But if you ask the people in Minnesota and San Diego, one of the things that they've done all the last several years, is that they've been threatening to move their franchises to Los Angeles unless they're given $1 billion in public money to build new stadiums. Now, I know that's the sort of thing that fans in Seattle have dealt with in all in three of their major sports in the past. But the NFL wants its owners to be able to do things like this, so they can leverage as many public dollars as possible, to leverage the best cable television deal as possible, and to leverage as many luxury boxes as possible. So the very existence of the Green Bay Packers really stands in the way between of owners and the last possible crumb that they can get off the table. That's why they stand up to it against the idea of other teams being community owned.
Well, given this utopian vision of business models that you've just outlaid with the Packers and their owners, should progressive Seattleites really be rooting for Green Bay instead of Seattle?
Well, it's an interesting question because on the one hand, I mean, Seattle certainly is a rise of progressively minded politics and radical politics in a way that I think has been inspiring to a lot of people across the country. That being said, a lot of people who are progressive or radically minded have also been very inspired by the platform of Richard Sherman and how he's used that platform, the cornerback for the Seahawks. So I guess that's how you weigh it. Do you want to project the business model of the Packers, or do you want to project the voice of Richard Sherman? I think people in Seattle will probably answer the latter.
Okay, here's your bonus question. Who's going to win this weekend?
It's very, very difficult to imagine the Seattle Seahawks losing at home. That's the thing that I can't get out of my head as I'm assessing this game. I really do think if it was in Lambeau Field, I would give the edge to the Green Bay Packers, but I don't see Seattle losing at home. It's as simple as that.
And if Seattle should prove victorious this weekend, do you think that they can repeat as Super Bowl champs?
Oh, absolutely. I think in the 8 seconds between when the ball is snapped and a play ends, Seattle has the smartest quarterback I've ever seen in Russell Wilson. I have never seen a quarterback smarter between the beginning and end of a play.
Dave Zirin is sports editor for The Nation magazine. This week, we've been asking you what it's like to be a Packers fan in Seattle. And as you might expect, we got a little trash talk. This comes all the way from Wisconsin.
Hi, this is Jim calling from Green Bay. Last Friday, I shoveled snow and 30 below wind chills at Lambeau to get ready for Dallas. Just wondering if you guys out there need any help putting up your umbrellas or cleaning your sushi. Let me know. I'll be glad to oblige. Go Pack, go.
The Seahawks do take on the Packers Sunday at CenturyLink Field, and the winner of that matchup goes to the Super Bowl. Seattle Mayor Ed Murray has a little wager with Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt. Both sides have put up local cheese and beer. Does that make this the Battle of the Cheeseheads? Well, whatever, Packer fans, this is for you. Just got to say, hope we don't hear that song too much this weekend.